Well, I hope you all are having a fantastic hump day. I can't believe it's already Wednesday. As I always say, time flies when you're having fun, and we have been having a grand time throughout this week on Current Sports. I'm excited about today's show. Been a busy morning for me, as many of you know, that we have actually switched our Current Sports TV taping time from 6 p.m. to now 10 a.m. each and every Wednesday. And this morning, I had a chance to sit down with a man who is revered throughout this entire area when you talk about high school hoops. Yes, Desmond Ferguson, folks. Desmond Ferguson was an outstanding, head above heels, great basketball player for the Lansing Everett Vikings back in the day. For those who grew up around the area and can rewind your clock a little bit to that time when Desmond was playing, you know that there was a huge rivalry between Desmond and Ron Banks. Ron Banks, now the head boys basketball coach, varsity boys basketball coach over at Lansing Sexton. And get this, Desmond Ferguson, now the varsity head boys basketball coach over at Lansing Everett. So the two rivals have now met up and are competing against each other in a different realm. They're not playing, of course, they are coaching their respective teams. But I got a chance to chat with Desmond Ferguson. He is such a great guy. You know, walked through the door with a big smile on his face, ready to talk about all things hoops. Such a gracious guy. We even dove into his Moneyball Pro-Am, which is taking place. And I don't know if you guys have gotten a chance to go out to the Moneyball Pro-Am, but the Pro-Am, it takes place, and you have all of these different players who are in different stages of their respective basketball careers. I mean, you have members of the Michigan State men's basketball team participating, guys like Denzel Valentine and, you know, players like Travis Trice, Lou Rawls, Narwin, you know, Tum Tum is playing. And then you got Aaron Harris, the transfer from Virginia. I mean, you got so many players playing in this thing. You had Draymond Green a few weeks ago. Draymond Green, a famed MSU men's basketball player who is now playing in the National Basketball Association for the Golden State Warriors. He participated in the Pro-Am not too long ago. But you have all of these different variances of talent playing in the Pro-Am, and it's all headed by Desmond Ferguson. It's called the Moneyball Pro-Am that takes place down at Aim High. Aim High, if you haven't been down there, it's a fantastic sporting facility with just a plethora of things for you to engage in. And, you know, it's been taking place there now for its fourth week. This is the fourth week it's been going on. The games take place that are free, absolutely free to the public, folks, each and every Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday and Thursday afternoons, folks. I believe the last game starts at 8:30 p.m. The first one begins at 6:30. So they are great, great games. It will be concluding. If you want to see these players for free and get an inside look into how their games are transitioning, I believe Denzel Valentine went bananas yesterday in the Pro-Am down in Aim High. He had 7 3-pointers, folks. 7 3-pointers. Now, I do want to say this, though. There's not much defense being played in these Pro-Ams. It kind of reminds me of, you know, a pickup game. You don't, even though you have coaches, you're really self-coached, to be honest with you. You're going out there just fine-tuning your game, working on different things. And Denzel Valentine, he looked like the second coming of Magic Johnson last night. He was unbelievable. I'll actually be going out there this Thursday to check it out firsthand myself. And Desmond Ferguson, again, he's been putting this on now, I believe, for 11 years. Got a chance to sit down and chat with him about that. He also has his clothing line going on entitled Moneyball Sportswear. That's doing pretty, pretty well. And he also dove into just other aspects of basketball. You know, he gave me a preview on the upcoming Lansing Everett boys basketball season, as well as, you know, he gave his thoughts on flopping. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but there's a video that I wanted to get to yesterday and chat about it here on the air with Alex. But there's a video of a kid. I'm not sure where exactly the school is located, but it's a youth basketball league. I mean, the kid is around 10 or 11 years old. And it's an unbelievable clip because if you look at it, you know, there's an inbounds play taking place. One kid is inbounding the ball. He's about to, at least. And before the inbounds can take place and before the kid can pass it to his teammate, one of the kids puts on his best Oscar-worthy performance that he can. I mean, the kid is a great actor because he totally just falls on the floor, acts like he gets fouled. He is not touched by anyone. The refs don't get a good look at it. They just look over and see the kid on the hardwood. and they issue a foul on the opposing team, and the other team gets the ball back. The kid who flopped on the ground gets the basketball. Can you believe that? I can't believe it. But, you know, Desmond, you know, I brought it up to Desmond, and we're actually showing the clip of it on this week's Current Sports TV show. Again, this episode will air with Desmond Ferguson tomorrow night at 10 p.m. But if you haven't seen it, you got to Google it. It just really kind of puts in perspective. Because, you know, I'm as you all know, I'm a big NBA fan, a huge, huge NBA guy. And I will be the first to admit that flopping in the NBA has really, 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 really gotten out of hand. Really gotten out of hand. And seeing something like this at the youth level where you have a kid who's playing in a youth basketball league sort of imitating what he's seeing on the national stage in the National Basketball Association, because that's really the premier realm of where flopping happens all the time. I mean, you have the best basketball player in the world in LeBron James, really known for it, for goodness sake. I mean, there's a trend going called LeBroning. LeBroning, folks. It's been trending for quite some time now where folks just, you know, are walking down a hall and will act like they just got, trucked, if you will, by Ray Lewis. You know, it's hilarious stuff. And it really, if you look at it, it really just goes to show how, you know, kids emulate with what they see from their idols. And a lot of these kids who are playing youth basketball, they look up to these National Basketball Association professional basketball players. And if they're seeing flopping on that stage, hey, they may think it's okay to do so at the youth level. It's not great ethics at all in the world of hoops, but it's being emulated by these kids. And, you know, Desmond, he definitely gave his thoughts on it because he's dealing with the youth at the high school level, him being a high school basketball coach. You don't want to miss his comments on that and so much more. So, again, that episode with Desmond Ferguson. Again, Desmond doing a great, great job throughout the area. He's entering his third season now as the head varsity boys basketball coach for the Lansing Everett Vikings. You can catch that episode again Thursday night at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Again, I'm certainly excited about this week's Current Sports TV episode, not only because I sat down with Desmond Ferguson, but also Ronald Mann. Now, if you tuned into Current Sports 2 weeks ago, we gave you kind of a sneak peek into Ronald's life. Ronald is an inspiring guy. He's a mixed martial artist who was born and raised right in the Mid-Michigan area in Bath Township, actually attended Bath High School. And Ronald underwent one of the most horrific experiences a human being can go through, that being losing a limb. Ronald lost his left leg in a horrific motorcycle accident in 1995. It was a point in which Ronald was really going through a deep, deep depression and just felt really alone in life. And it wasn't until Ronald found the motivation to continue to pursue a career in mixed martial arts that kept him going. I got a chance to be introduced to Ronald through, of course, Ryan DeLeon. Ryan DeLeon has been a great friend of Current Sports, and he's been on the show numerous times. He's an MMA fight promoter right here in Lansing, has been hosting many, many events, and comes in contact with fighters not only in this area but across the nation. And he told me about Ronald Mann and told me about his story, and I immediately, you know, said to myself, I got to go out and meet this guy. And we're actually doing a two-part series. Part one, you'll get to see that again Thursday night at 10 p.m. During that Desmond Ferguson episode. You'll get to see part one of his story. And in part two, I'll be sitting down with Ronald's his parents. I'll be sitting down with his trainer and doctor. It is one remarkable story that you do not want to miss. So, again, we have a jam-packed Current Sports TV, folks, and I look forward to all of you checking it out and hearing your feedback on Ronald Mann's story and the sit-down with Desmond Ferguson. Well, we have quite the show in store for you right here on today's radio show. I'm remiss that we don't have Alex Sharg with us today. He underwent an emergency with one of his close friends and had to travel back home. So Alex will be with us later on in the week. Hopefully he'll be back Friday. But hey, this is kind of a throwback show as Aaron Young joins us today, our engineer, who's been with us countless times throughout the history of Current Sports. So Aaron will be joining me these next 2 days. And, you know, it's a great, great show in store for you guys today as we'll be diving into. And we dove into it yesterday. We dove into Tony Dungy's comments on Michael Sam. As you heard in our quick hit headliners, Tony Dungy clarified those comments later on in the evening of Tuesday, and we'll kind of run down what exactly he said, and you'll get to hear my thoughts on that. And Aaron and I will also talk about Rory McIlroy. We really have not gotten the chance because we've had just two jam-packed shows on Monday and Tuesday. We haven't gotten the chance to dive into Rory McIlroy's unbelievable accomplishment. He now has 3 majors at the tender age of 25 now. It was really remarkable on how Rory was able to pull out this British Open win this past weekend with 4 unbelievable rounds. So we'll dive into that. And how about Fulton? Fulton firing its football coach, John Winkle. That's really stunning news because, you know, if you look at John's track record of success, it's really through the roof. I mean, you know, during my time covering high school sports here, John's Fulton High School football team has been one of those programs that you know are going to bring it each and every year. John Winkle, he's done an outstanding job, but as we talked about at the in our Current Sports Quick Hit headliners, John was fired by a unanimous vote from the Fulton School Board in a special meeting on Monday night. He was also relieved of his duties as the Pirates' baseball coach, and he's been the baseball coach for 23 years. So Fulton decided to part ways with John Winkler, again, who was the head coach of the football team over at Fulton and the Pirates' baseball coach as well. Interesting stuff. We'll talk about that, and you'll get to hear my thoughts on that firing. Again, you can weigh in on anything that we talk about here on Current Sports by simply picking up that phone. Yes, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. It's always a great time to have him on. Brooks Lambeer, he is the MSU men's and women's soccer beat reporter, as well as Lansing United beat reporter for Impact Sports. He knows all things soccer. It was a pleasure having him throughout the entire World Cup fiasco that just wrapped up. Brooks, how you doing? And welcome to the show. How you been?
I'm good, man. How are you doing now?
Oh, very, very well. Brooks, I definitely want to have you on today to sort of wrap up the weekend that was for the Lansing United soccer team. It was one unbelievable weekend. We'll actually be showing the highlights of their just remarkable accomplishment. Remarkable accomplishment to pull out the Midwest Regional title this past week, and you'll get to see that on Current Sports TV as well. But you were actually there, Brooks, covering this squad, and I got to ask you, what was the atmosphere like on Sunday when United won that Midwest Regional Championship? It had to be through the roof for a team in its infancy. This is the first year that Lansing has had a minor league soccer team, and in its first year to win the Midwest Regional Championship, I mean, that's got to be an unbelievable feeling for this team.
You know, I think the word that comes to mind is relief. Jeremy was relieved that they had won. The team was, the fans were. They didn't doubt him for a second, but, you know, it was relief. It's very scary when you go into, you know, a double overtime and then with possible PKs on the line. And, you know, if you watch the World Cup, you know how PKs are. They're very dramatic and, you know, they kind of eat at you inside. You know, you're just waiting to see which team's going to win. So relief is probably the best word to describe the atmosphere.
I tell you what, looking at the highlights, it seemed as though there was a jam-packed house. Something we've talked about week in and week out on this show when bringing up Lansing United is just the unbelievable fan support throughout mid-Michigan for this team throughout this season. I mean, looking at the statistics on Lansing United's website, they averaged a little over 1,000 people per match. That's unbelievable. That's got to be so impressive and Jeremy has to be feeling through the roof looking at those numbers.
You know, I think Jeremy and, you know, Dave Ellis and head coach Eric Rudd are very happy with the turnout. It was definitely more than I would have thought if you asked me at the beginning of the year how many people you think would turn out. You know, I think, as we talked before, Al, I think the World Cup was a big part of it because it's gotten to that soccer fever. But, you know, the Sons of Ransom have grown from 3 people to now over apparently 100 on Twitter, and about 30 show up at the game.
Wow.
You know, everything's just grown. There's been great fan support. Jeremy's gotten the youth soccer players involved. He's gotten, you know, the people in the Lancet community involved. And I think that's really what Jeremy wanted to do. He wanted to get everyone involved in the community to support the team, and he felt that the team should be based around the community. So I think, you know, looking at that and how he approached it, you know, by the middle of the season, I wasn't surprised that 800, 900, sometimes 1,000 people were coming out to the games.
Brooks, support is one thing and success is another. No one really saw this Midwest regional title coming. And when you chatted with the players after Sunday celebration, I mean, what was going through their head? Were they sort of shell-shocked, or did they expect this type of success?
I think some of them, if you look back at the beginning of the season, they weren't sure what it was going to be. You know, talking, you know, to some of the players, especially MSU goalkeeper Zach Bennett, you know, he kind of mentioned that he wasn't sure the style of play in the MPSL. He wasn't sure about the talent in the MPSL. You know, I think the season as went on, you know, they kept winning and they kept doing well. And, you know, at the end of the day, they thought that, hey, we have a shot at this on Sunday. You know, why not take it? And they did. And, props to Gabe Mateo for coming up big in the DCFC game and then in the championship, Midwest Regional Championship game. And, you know, like I said earlier in the interview, I think relief was something just at the end of the game because of the nerves. But I think, happiness and joy was also something that the players really expressed after the game on Sunday.
Yeah, and you bring up Gabe Mateo. I mean, Gabe has really been the Superman, if you will. He was definitely Superman on Sunday to get that last-minute goal to really seal the deal for this team. What was Gabe? What were Gabe's thoughts after the game when you chatted with him? I mean, to get a goal like that and to not – he's done this before. I mean, he's got the clutch gene, doesn't he?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. You know, it's funny with Gabe because, you know, as a youth player, he would tell us that, you know, he was used to scoring, you know, 10, 15, 20 goals in a season. You know, he played college soccer for a year. He had stopped for a little while, wasn't not sure what he wants to do with life. You know, but talking after the game, you know, you see it on his face and in his words, just sense of joy and excitement. And you see that passion in his eyes and in the way he replies to you when you ask him the question. So, you know, I think he's excited to get back on the pitch again. And, you know, he understands what he's capable of. And Eric Rudland understands that as well, the head coach. So, you know, it's been great that Gabe's, you know, come up clutch for the team.
Brooks, for many throughout the area, this Midwest regional title has really opened the eyes to many around the Mid-Michigan area. Not just the fact that this is a brand new squad and this may be a fad for just a little bit of time. That's what many people think out there when Lance United was established, that, okay, this is great, but let's see how long it lasts. Many didn't even fathom that this team is pretty, pretty good, including myself. What makes this Lance United team so good?
Well, I think from the start is camaraderie and people having higher expectations for each other. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've interviewed players and they said, you know, they set the standard high for each other. And, you know, that also comes with camaraderie, with relying on your teammates to be there to step up when you know you need them to. And, you know, it's been time out and time again in practice and in the games. And that's something, you know, Eric Rudland has really preached to his players. And, you know, Jeremy, I'm sure Jeremy and Eric have talked, but, you know, Jeremy's kind of, you know, not hovered over the team. So that's always probably a good thing as from an owner and player standpoint. But, I think it's really just been camaraderie. It's everyone getting along. And this is not the players. This is everyone within the organization. Everyone respects Jeremy Sampson for what he's done. They love him. That this is very much run like a semi-professional team. You know, you have a trainer, you have great coaching staff, you have a coaching staff for each position, for the defense, the midfield, the goalkeepers and whatnot. So, you know, it's something that, you know, that they really pride themselves on.
Brooks, when looking at this type of success, especially when talking about Jeremy Sampson, who, you know, it's so crazy because we've had Jeremy on Current Sports before, and Jeremy was a long time colleague, of course, in the business of mine when he was a sports reporter at Channel 10 News for years and years and years. I remember when I was an intern and first met Jeremy. And now he has transitioned into being the owner of this minor league soccer team in Lansing United. And Jeremy seems to be just, from you know, the few years I've known him, this is the happiest I've ever seen him. I mean, what do you think this type of success will bring now for him and his franchise when you talk about sponsorships and support and so on and so forth?
Well, I think it only raises the bar for expectations next season, which is always the difficult thing to do after you have a successful season, is can you bring back the caliber of players you had this year? Because, you know, you never know what's going to happen with some of these guys that are, you know, that have gone on from college and are done. You know, some want to go play professional soccer. Some are going back to England. Some are kind of at the end of their careers where, you know, some of them just want to coach now. And, you know, with the team, I know I've read from some other articles that there's a team going up in Grand Rapids for an MPSL team. So that's just more competition with kids you got from Western Michigan on the west side of the state. So, the question is, can he bring back the same type of caliber of players that he has this year? And I have no question with the coaching and, you know, the players that Jeremy wants to go after, he'll get because, like I said, camaraderie. They want players that are going to play as a team. But the biggest question is, can you find those players that want to play for you again next year, which is always the biggest question.
Brooks, just how high is the turnover rate when you talk about minor league soccer programs? I mean, if you had to give an estimation, I mean, how many players on average do make that leap to professional soccer after a year of playing in a league like the MPSL?
Well, you have to remember that most of these guys in the MPSL are college soccer players. So, you know, they're either still in college. You know, most of the ones that probably are good enough to play professional soccer probably have went to the MLS Combine and, you know, did everything they needed to do to try to make a professional soccer team, whether that's in the MLS or overseas. But it's always possible for a reserve team, a freshman reserve team, to ask, you know, have you graduated from college and whatnot, and, do you want to come play for us? Or, like I said, even for the guys that have, like a Brian Cunningham or a Matt Brown who are on the older side, for them to ask, hey, do you want to come play for us? You know, we know you've done well with Lansing United, and, you know, you've done well in the past. So I don't know how high the turnover rate would be per se. I couldn't give you a number. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's as high as a lot of people would think.
Well, we'll certainly see. It's certainly one fantastic team. And you brought up already, Brooks, a few personnel who have really been unbelievable contributors to this Lansing United success throughout this season, and Brian Cunningham and Gabe Mateo, Zach Bennett, and so on and so forth. If you had to pick an MVP for this team, who is it?
Wow, that's a tough one. I think when you build a team, you have to start with the keeper in the back because you have to keep the ball out of the goal in order to win games. And Zach Bennett just played off his mind. You know, having the honor and chance to watch Zach play last year and again this year. This kid, when he is on, he is on. He is probably one of the best goalkeepers, you know, in the Big Ten. He was one of the best goalkeepers in the country last year in college soccer. The kid's brilliant. So I would say Zach would probably be my MVP. But then, you know, you have to say Matt Brown because he scored 10 goals for Lansing United in the 13 games that, you know, they played during the for the first 13 games. So, but if I had to pick one, it'd probably be Zach Bennett.
Yeah, he's certainly been unbelievable. Both of those players, I mean, Matt Brown and Zach Bennett, they've been fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Today's Current Sports, we are talking with MSU men's and women's soccer and Lansing United beat reporter for Impact Sports, Brooks Lambeer. Well, Brooks, you know, when you look now at this team, they now move on to the national semifinals, traveling to good old New York. Yes, the Big Apple. What do you know about the New York Red Bulls' U-23 squad that Lansing United will be playing on Sunday?
That's a good question because I have been doing my research. I've been looking at their roster. And from the roster standpoint, it's pretty much the same thing as Lansing United would have, with the exception of it's U-23. So you're playing 23 and under. And most likely, you're not going to have a guy like a Matt Brown who's 27, 28, 29, which they don't. Which
so that's what U23 means. So 23 years old and under. How young is the youngest guy on that squad?
Well, that's interesting because they actually have a couple 17-year-olds who play for the Red Bulls Youth Academy.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and they played in a couple games. They haven't played in all of them, but you know, they've had trials with the then U.S. men's national 17 and 20 team. And, you know, you have some college guys who are the guys who play for Harvard, Bucknell, some Georgetown. Virginia is probably one of the best players on there. A guy who plays for the University of Virginia, always a strong college soccer program. And then you have some, like I said, 23-year-olds who are out of college, just graduated, or guys that are looking to play for, you know, the Red Bulls reserve team. Because a lot of these U23 guys, they kind of go, some may go up and down between the reserves and the 23 team. So, you know, that's just kind of a description of this Red Bulls 23 team.
And Brooks, even if, you know, whatever happens on Sunday, even if Lance United, let's just say, you know, and knock on wood here, but let's just say they do go to New York and you know, end up falling to the New York Red Bulls' U23 squad. Let's say that does happen. Even if the season is said and done at that point, I mean, looking at everything that this team has accomplished, I mean, far, you know, exceeding many people's expectations, including my own. I mean, this season, no matter what happens on Sunday, is a huge success. Am I right?
Yes. And, you know, I like I said, if it was the beginning of the year, you know, going to Jimmy's Pub and when they unveiled the team name and the logo, you know, I would have, if someone asked me, would they make it to the national semifinals, be the final four teams in the league? I would have said no. I would have said probably would have had a decent season. You know, you know, Eric's a great coach. I know a little about him before, you know, Jeremy hired him, but, you know, I say this is more than what Jeremy had hoped for and probably thought of. The same with Eric. And, you know, it's a success either way, if you lose or you win on Sunday.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I got to ask you, I mean, talking about, you brought up the World Cup earlier in the interview, and we've had you on to analyze it and talk about the U.S.'s run and so on and so forth, and what exactly that run for the United States men's national soccer team would mean for the popularity of the game of soccer, or football, as I like to call it, here in America. And having, you know, having this type of, you know, local feel to it with Lansing United and the success that they're having, do you sense an increase in soccer popularity in this area in mid-Michigan, Brooks?
You know, yeah, of course. And the one thing people don't know a lot about Michigan soccer, if you haven't really studied the youth system and the club teams that play here, is there are actually a lot of professional guys. There are actually like guys that played in Michigan that play professional soccer in Michigan and overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's very scarce. You know, I can tell you that, you know, the club teams within the whole entire state do a great job of training players and, you know, growing the game. But in relation to the success of the U.S. this year and, you know, Lansing United and Mid-Michigan, I would say, yeah, I think it's going to attract more players and people. And, you know, hopefully it can just keep on growing from there.
There you have that. All right, Brooks, before I let you go, I know you got to have an interview at 1:30. You're 4 minutes over that right now. My bad. But I got to give me a quick prediction on what do you think is going to happen this Sunday with Lance United and the New York Red Bulls team.
All right, well, let's see. I'm going to say, okay, another little fact, too, before we go, is that the New York Red Bulls team really has owned their division, so and their goal differential, you know, is just off the charts. Compared to the other six, or five other teams in their division.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say that they play that competitively, and I honestly think they can pull off the win. I'm going to go 1-0 Lansing United.
There you have it. So you said 1-0?
1-0.
1-0, Lance United pulls it out and keeps this magical season alive. There you have that. Brooks Lambeer, MSU men's and women's soccer beat reporter, and yes, beat reporter for Lance United. Hey, thanks a lot, Brooks. Brooks of Impact Sports. Brooks Lambeer, thanks a lot, Brooks.
Thank you, Al. You take care, man.
You do the same. We'll be in touch. All right, well, here's the break. We have a lot to talk about, folks. Again, you can weigh in on it. Our phone lines are now open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. 95-27. When we come back, we'll talk about Tony Dungy as he clarifies his comments on Michael Sam. We'll dive into Rory McIlroy's incredible run at the British Open and Fulton firing their football coach. All of that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Thanks a lot to Brooks Lambert for joining me on today's show. Brooks kind of gave an analysis on the incredible weekend that was for the Lance United soccer team as they pull out the, it was one incredible weekend. Looking at that entire celebration too, that happened on Sunday. Unbelievable weekend for Lance United. And it just, you have to, sometimes have to pinch yourself. Looking at where this team, you know, from its founding start to where they are now, again, winning that Midwest regional title, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable run for them. If you want to give your thoughts on Lance United or anything that we talk about here on the show today, you know that number. Yes, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Well, as I stated earlier, our normal engineer for the show, Alex Sharg, he had an emergency and had to he'll be down in the Metro Detroit area for the next 2 days, and filling in for him will be, yes, our friend and former Current Sports crew member, Aaron Young. Aaron, I missed you, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing very, very well. I know, Aaron, you're excited to dive into this Rory McIlroy discussion that we'll be bringing up in just a sec. But before we do, again, folks, you can call in and give your thoughts on anything we talk about here on the show. Phone line's now open, 517-355-9527. Now, yesterday we brought up some interesting comments from Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy, he definitely has an unbelievable, I guess you can say, aura here in the state of Michigan, seeing as though this is where Tony grew up. Tony Dungy is one of the most revered and respected men in the football world. He's really broken down many, many barriers, especially when it comes to African-Americans in the world of coaching in the NFL. But Tony had some interesting comments, which we talked about yesterday on the show, regarding the drafting of Michael Sam, who, of course, became the first openly gay football player as he was taken in the seventh round of the NFL draft. Not too long ago, he was also honored with the Arthur Ashe Award at the ESPYs. And Tony basically came out and made a comment and said that he would not basically take Michael Sam in the NFL draft due to the amount of distraction that could ensue. And Tony has since retracted, I wouldn't say retracted those comments. I would more so say clarified those comments, issuing a statement on Tuesday. Now, on Tuesday, he basically came out, and we alluded to it in our Current Sports Quick Hit headliners. Tony basically came out and clarified that what he meant by distraction and those quote unquote things wouldn't pan out to be as smooth as an NFL coach, GM, or president would like to, is that, you know, he made it clear that Sam's status as the NFL's first openly gay player is what could become a distraction as far as the media is concerned, a distraction that no or little NFL coaches in the NFL would like to have in their locker room. I thought that definitely, you know, as I talked about yesterday, we had a caller by the name of Dave who called in yesterday and gave his thoughts on this whole situation with Tony Dungy. And Dave basically, you know, and I kind of agree with Dave. Dave kind of talked about how Tony Dungy basically was saying that this distraction that Tony Dungy is talking about is very, very valid in the fact that when you talk about running a professional organization, whether it be any professional sport, not just the NFL, whether it be the NBA or the MLB, you want to limit as many distractions as possible, especially when you are on the brink of your season. And Tony Dungy, in that regard, I definitely agree with him. And I brought up the backlash that Tony Dungy was receiving because there are many out there who I felt as though read just a little too deeply into Tony's comments due to, really, Tony's background, his religious background. Many know that Tony has been an outspoken, devout Christian man, and his beliefs are something that has driven him in his entire career. He's never shied away from it, and there are many that, with Tony having the sort of belief background that he has, there are many out there that believe that Tony doesn't agree with the gay and lesbian community lifestyle that they are living. And upon finding that out, there are many from those communities that lashed out on Tony and said that the only reason he made those comments had to do with the fact that Tony doesn't agree with them, and he doesn't agree with the lifestyle that Michael Sam is living. And if you go through, I don't want to read the extensive quote or passage from Tony's clarification that he released yesterday, but Tony basically came out and said, no, that's not the reason. I didn't even bring that up, to be honest with you. And again, for me, and I'm going to reiterate my statements that I made yesterday, Tony said what many NFL GMs, owners, and coaches were thinking. Now, there's no way to put a number on that or put a statistic on that. There's no way we can find a statistic that riddles down how many NFL GMs, coaches, and so on and so forth passed up on Michael Sam due to the distraction that could ensue due to his of course, Michael Sam being the first openly gay NFL player in the league. There's no way to equate how many passed up on Michael Sam due to that reason. But I guarantee there were a lot of them. Folks, he was taken in the 7th round, for goodness sake. Michael Sam is a man who was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. I always have to keep reiterating that, too, because the SEC, this is not a league that is near the bottom tier of that in college football. The SEC is arguably the top-tier league in all of college football, folks. And Michael Sam had the best defensive year out of any player in that league. He's a great player. And he was taken in the seventh round of the NFL draft. Really, when you look at Tony's comments and look at his opinions on the distraction piece, and if you equate it to talent, I can see a parallel there. I can certainly see a parallel there. Because when you look at it, Michael Sam is a guy who's certainly blazing the trailway for many out there, many pro athletes out there who may be gay and are afraid to come out. Michael Sam, it took a lot of courage to do that. And it's the reason why he received the Arthur Ashe Award. But when you put yourself, when you take yourself out of that realm and you enter the mind and try to step into the shoes of an NFL coach or an NFL owner or GM, that NFL owner, GM, or coach, when preparing for an NFL season, they want as little distraction as possible. This was a story when Michael Sam came out as gay. This was a story that transcended beyond your regular current sports radio show, beyond your regular ESPN telecast, beyond your regular Sports Illustrated reading. This was a story that was read and talked about on platforms such as Good Morning America, Inside Edition, Entertainment Tonight. I mean, so many entertainment aspects, and just in barbershops across the nation, in beauty salons across the nation. This was a story that transcended culture. And with that brings attention. With that brings distraction, possibly. It's going to take a tight locker room in place for the St. Louis Rams to sort of mask this whole fiasco, because they're going to be media members left and right that are going to try to weigh in on this. And I want to get your thoughts on this, folks, because Tony Dungy, I understand where he was coming from. but there are many who felt as though his comments were made simply due to a, you know, looking, his comments were made due to his background, his religious background. And again, looking at what Tony said, I didn't see that at all. There are many people jumping to conclusions here that certainly didn't have any validation in my whole opinion. So, and I'm glad that Tony came out and clarified things. Again, you can weigh in on it. What do you think about Tony Dungy's clarification? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I believe we have a caller right now, Martin from Detroit. Martin, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Al.
Definitely.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no problem, man.
The thing with Tony Dungy is, everybody wants to say it's because he's not anti-gay marriage and all that other stuff, but everything he said was completely valid. And I know a lot of people have been jumping on Tony Dungy because he was a very staunch supporter of Michael Vick when he went through the whole dogfighting back into jail, reclamation project back into the NFL thing. But the difference between a Michael Vick and a Michael Sam is almost, it's like the Tim Tebow factor. You can't tell me that Tim Tebow wasn't good enough to be a backup quarterback or a third-string quarterback in the NFL. But the talent level that Tim Tebow had didn't justify the media circus that came around with all the ESPN cameras and Sal Palantonio on set every day. That's the same thing with Michael Sam.
Right. I totally agree. And, you know, that's a point I made yesterday. I mean, talent in this regard, when you talk about Michael Sam and Tony Dungy's comments in regard to this whole thing, talent here does not supersede distraction. In Michael Vick's case, when that whole dogfighting ring took place, I mean, Michael Vick was arguably one of the best players in the league at that point. He was in his prime. He was tearing up the league. Talent certainly superseded distraction. So I definitely understand where Tony is coming from in that regard. I definitely agree with you, Martin, on that.
I'll put it to you like this. If Michael Sam was to Davion Clowney, he would have been a top five pick, no matter what.
Right. Exactly.
Gay, straight, yellow, or green, he would have been a top five pick, no matter what.
Right. I agree. Hey, thanks a lot, Martin, for your call. Appreciate it, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Again, if you want to weigh in on this conversation or anything that's on your noggin, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We actually have another caller right now. Terry, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, Terry?
Pretty good. Thanks. It's interesting that you mentioned right off the bat that, Tony had broken barriers for black men as far as coaching and basically coaching in the NFL.
Yeah.
And, when I looked at this situation and what he said about it, what Dungy said about it, what if Branch Rickey had that same attitude? Thank God he didn't, because Jackie Robinson never would have had the chance that he had. It took guts for Branch Rickey to do what he did, and it took guts for, a coach to draft Sam. Mm-hmm. I don't see any difference between the two at all. Now, I know exactly what he meant. I'm sure he wasn't, referring to the fact that I'm religious and I'm against gay people. I think he was talking about the distraction. But so what? Every time that there's a big change in society, it requires somebody that has the guts to do what the king did that drafted him. I just, it just really bothered me when I thought about it a little bit more. Somebody, I even heard one person say the decision, they understood what Tony meant, but they thought that basically what he said was a homophobic statement. And I have to admit, when I thought about it, I thought back to Jackie Robinson and what if Branch Rickey had just said, oh, my God, having a black guy play baseball, it's too much of a distraction. It was a heck of a distraction, but they still went ahead and had Jackie Robinson play on that team. That's basically the way I feel about it. I just don't see any difference.
That's a very, very valid point as well. Hey, thanks a lot for your call. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah, and that's an interesting perspective as well, Aaron, because when you look at it and diving into it, I totally see where Tony is coming from a GM, owner, or coach perspective. But then again, from a groundbreaking perspective, you can bring up that argument that our caller just did. And, with Dungy's comments, many of them felt as though it was troubling because, like our caller just said, if everyone refused to hire minorities because it could cause a distraction in the past, no minority group would ever make progress. So I definitely see where you're coming through, too, in that regard. Folks, we only have 7 minutes left in the show. Again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and also even tweet me at Al Martin WK. All right, we have another caller right now. Brent, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Thank you. I got a question for you.
Yes.
What's the difference between this fella and Max Bulla? They both were going to be a sideshow.
Gotcha. As far as the fiasco goes, huh?
Exactly.
So what did you think of Tony Dungy's comments?
I think he shot straight. I think they were right.
You think they were right?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Hey, thanks a lot, Brent. And that's another thing. When you talk about, you know, distractions, you know, and this is another thing I brought up. I wanted to hammer down this point during yesterday's show. When you talk about talent superseding distraction or vice versa, and like Martin brought up, there are many people out there that immediately, when Tony made these comments, went to the whole Michael Vick situation, when, of course, Tony was very adamant in backing up Michael Vick's transition into the game of football after the whole dogfighting ring and situation went down. Again, Michael Vick, when you talk about talent, Michael Vick was in his prime. I mean, Michael Vick was great before that incident took place. And many people wanted to see him play. A NFL locker room would handle that type of distraction, because the reward in the end could be touchdowns and a possible Super Bowl at the hands of Michael Vick. Michael Sam, hey, we haven't even seen him play an NFL game yet. So I definitely see that regard as well. Folks, again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before the hour ends, Aaron, I want to talk about Rory McIlroy's unbelievable performance over the weekend. Oh, boy. Rory's success and Tiger's distress. That's what I kind of dubbed this past weekend, as Tiger Woods. He kind of went just ghost protocol on Saturday and Sunday, and arguably on Friday as well, throughout those four rounds in the British Open. But, man, oh, man, I want to make this statement, Aaron, because I made it to wrap up yesterday's show. I think Rory, and, you know, we've talked about golf kind of, you know, on the brinks of kind of a panic mode here. If Tiger Woods doesn't get back to his prime form or some shade of it, and when Tiger Woods eventually retires, who's going to take that mantle as the next face of golf? Well, I think we found it. I'm willing to say that Rory McIlroy is golf's next superstar. I'm not saying he's the next Tiger Woods. I don't think anybody's going to be next Tiger Woods for years and years and years to come. But Rory McIlroy, I think he's the next face, Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only guy you could pick right now for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first thing he did, and I think his ex-fiance would agree, that they were not made for each other. And the second they split up, they both started playing better. So,
yeah, that was a good thing, right?
Yeah. Honestly, the second they got rid of each other, his next tournament, he played good. I think he was in first on Thursday, and he had his disastrous Fridays, which I'm glad he figured that out, how not to play crappy on a Friday.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. You know, we brought up this discussion about celebrities dating athletes. Hey, it was a valid discussion we had on the show about Justin Verlander and Kate Upton, but I definitely see what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they just need to split up for a while. Maybe he'll start pitching better. I don't know.
Yeah, just take a break, man.
Take a break. but, yeah, you know, Tiger, I don't know what's going to happen when he goes to the when he goes to the senior tour. That senior tour is going to get so much attention, they won't know what to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how long Tiger's got left. You know, no one expected him to do good this weekend. Really, he had one good day, which was the first day. Obviously, after that, he just went downhill. I don't think he says he's back. He's ready to go. I don't really think he is.
No,
I mean, he's just not. He hasn't been in competition for quite a while. To take that much time off golf is quite a bit, and the injury he had, plus his swing just isn't there. He can't, I don't know if he can even, his three wood seems like the only club he can hit right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's about it. Yeah.
He can't hit his driver at all.
Right.
But, you know, Rory, when he's on, there's no one else in the field that can beat him. His putting's on, His short game is on. His long game is on. He puts it in the fairway. He puts it right where he wants to. He's mentally focused. He's patient. He's got everything going for him. He's young. He's athletic.
Yeah, I mean, right. He's got it.
And frankly, his mental game, which a lot of other players have his skill, but I also think that McIlroy has the mental game to get him where he needs, where, you know, put him above the rest of them. And I think this weekend showed him that he showed us, like, you know, hey, I got this. And I think he's not the next Tiger Woods for sure, because he's
right. He's still got a long way to go before.
He's still got a long way
that.
To go, and he should have started that like 5 years ago to be the next Tiger Woods. But
right.
You know, him and Jordan Spieth have kind of been sort of the names they're spelling out there. But Jordan Spieth, he's sort of been up and down this year a little bit. But
right.
McIlroy is probably the next guy people are going to be looking out for.
Yeah, and you brought it up. One of the things that really stood out to me, Aaron, and you just alluded to it, was Rory's calmness. I mean, he was so calm out there on, you know, just out throughout those four rounds. I mean, nothing seemed to faze the man. One of the key moments for me that stood out on Saturday, I almost fainted when I looked at my phone and read the update on this. Eagling two of the last three holes on Saturday to wrap up his round. That's redonkulous. I mean, it just shows how poised he was. Nothing rattled his cage and got under his skin. And when you talk about Tiger Woods, Tiger's absence, I tell you what, you know, anytime Tiger Woods has a chance to win a tournament, everyone seems to lose their mind, including myself, because I am one of the biggest Tiger Woods fans you'll ever see. When he had that great first round, you saw many people picking him to win to finally get out that major slump and win. And then you saw what happened Friday, and then Saturday, and then Sunday. And I want to talk about this, you know, tomorrow's show, Aaron. Is there even a Tiger effect now? Because now I feel as though Tiger Woods, when you bring up his name to the field doesn't get nervous like they used to. The field is pretty comfortable at challenging him now. And, you know, and Tiger has never really been comfortable with playing from behind. He never has been comfortable with playing from behind. And that's something he's having to do now in his career for the first time ever. So we'll talk about that, folks. But, hey, we are out of time, unfortunately. Thank you to all of you who called in and joined us here on today's show. Thanks a lot to Brooks Lambeer, Impact Sports writer for Lansing United and the MSU men's and women's soccer team. Hey, same time, same place tomorrow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.